For this episode of our podcast, we'll switch to English because we are talking about two projects that will be part of a truly international festival, the Ars Electronica, happening this weekend in Linz. But don't worry, you will have the chance to experience the artworks that we'll discuss now at home too, because they are available online. And they are pretty fascinating.
We collected 27 interviews from people all around the world.
We can always hear something different from different perspectives, and there are still something that everyone in the society is experiencing together.
It encourages you to decide on the level of interaction you want to experience with this as well. Each experience is highly individual, so is every reality in a way.
Hi and welcome to A New Realities, a podcast of 1E9 and the XR Hub Bavaria. In this podcast, we want to present new realities, for example, projects, ideas, concepts, and products in virtual, augmented, and mixed reality, or in short, in extended reality. My name is Wolfgang Kerler. I'm editor-in-chief of 1E9. And for this episode, I'm talking to three students who have worked on projects that will be part of Ars Electronica this weekend, the famous festival for digital art. And my guests are Adrian Ludwig from the University of Applied Sciences Augsburg, Cynthia Ng from the Technical University of Munich, and Lukas Fellner from the Ludwigs-Maximilian University of Munich, LMU. They all worked on a research creation project initiated by the three universities and the XR Hub during the last semester. The topic was sensing extended realities. And what they have made of it, how the COVID-19 pandemic has influenced the work, and what you will ultimately see and hear, that's what the three of them are telling us now. Great to have you here. I'm not sure if you ever had three guests in one podcast. It's great. Three young people from three different universities. And in order to give our audience an idea of who's talking to me today, we start with a short introduction round. And maybe all of you could tell us your name, your subject, and what the subject has to do with extended realities, which is kind of the overarching topic of our podcast. And maybe we start out of Munich, because three of us are sitting in Munich right now, and we start in Augsburg. Adrian, maybe you can give us a short introduction.
Yeah, hi, I'm Adrian. I'm studying at the University of Applied Sciences in Augsburg, and I'm studying something called interactive media. And it has to do with VR, extended reality, and AR and mixed reality and what there is in different ways. It's kind of a mixture of visual design and computer science. So wherever you place your interest and your ambition is where you can get into the topic. So it could either be technically or more aesthetic in a way.
Great. Then we move from Augsburg to Munich. And Cynthia, maybe you go first.
Yeah, hello. My name is Cynthia. I'm from TU München, from the Munich Center for Technology in Society. So I am a student here studying science and technology studies. So our discipline is to study the interrelationship among science, technology, and society. And for this project, we're working on the topic which is related to COVID-19 and which we are taking a social science approach to study it. And also later we will discuss, we are taking a research creation approach to collaborate with our students to create this exhibition.
So you're kind of the social part of the project, and Lukas, he's kind of the technical part. Of course, it's all mixed it up, but Lukas, also from Munich, but from a different school, your turn.
Yeah, so I'm Lukas. I study fine arts and multimedia with media informatics as a minor. And in my study program, we basically experiment with different kinds of media all the time. And we work with technology in the field of art and on a regular basis kind of explore things like AR, VR, such as in this project.
Great, you already gave a glimpse about the projects that you were working on for Ars Electronica in Linz, and they will be showcased there. which is great. But maybe we'll have a look at the topic first. The topic that kind of your professors gave you was called Sensing Extended Realities. Maybe you can give us an idea of what sensing extended realities could mean. I have some ideas in my mind, but it could be like anything. What were your ideas and what were you told about the topic of your projects? Whoever wants to go first, just jump in.
Yeah, so when I first read about sensing extended realities, I kind of thought about the possibilities of virtual reality, for example, improving one's life or perspective and helping you to really understand something better. Because you can immerse in a different world and be the protagonist of it, for example, and just be confronted by something that is given to you. And you can totally focus on the topic without any outside distractions. So yeah, it was more the interest in a medium that is really immersive and helps you maybe to understand your own reality more through a different created reality that is given to you.
Cynthia and Adrian, what were you thinking when you were given the topic Sensing Extended Realities a couple of months ago to work on it? What came to your mind first? You know, when I heard sensing extended realities, I was thinking about, I don't know, some VR glasses with a suit so that you could even feel what happens in virtual reality. But that was only my first thought. Maybe you can give us a hint about yours. Adrian, what were you thinking?
I remember thinking, whoa, that's a lot of possibilities. You know, there's like, what's the idea behind reality in a way? And of course, how do we extend it and also where does it start? Because I feel like we have been augmenting and extending realities and ways to interact with it all over human history. Maybe it already starts with a hammer, you know. It's also kind of an extension to the reality and how we perceive it. I remember that we started with just exploring like what does every part of these works mean. So what is sensing and like how do we extend it and yeah, what is reality in a way? And then it was a vast amount of thoughts coming up.
Great. Cynthia, did you think about a hammer too or about something different?
For me, I also thought into the direction of XR, AR, and more about how we're interacting with the audiences, because after all, it is talking about how we're telling stories, how we are engage our audiences. And for us, because we joined the project in a later part, and at that time, our students from Ellsberg and from LMU, they already have a really concept of what could be for sensing extended realities. And for us, actually, we had an interesting discussion with them talking about if we are collecting different voices, are we going to make an archive like we want to be just descriptive and then present our voices to our audiences, or do we want to introduce some normative stances into our exhibition? So this is kind of our way of thinking, and then we also engage those discussions with our fellow teammates. Yeah, and then we think that probably we can also take this opportunity of exhibition. It is unavoidable for us to have normative stance. So we were thinking, how can we introduce the concept of empathy into our project and then to make our audiences think about care.
Cynthia and Lukas, you're from different universities, from TU Munich and LMU, but you were working on a joint project which is called Stories of an Instant. And I know that it has a lot to do with the COVID pandemic and the shutdown and how it affected people's lives. But maybe before we dive into this, all three of you could describe how working on a project with fellow students worked out during this time of shutdown where universities were, closed, you couldn't meet in person. So it's pretty hard to set up a project when you don't meet each other. Maybe you can give us your stories of the pandemic and how this project could work out anyways. And then we look deeper into your projects. Adrian, I think the University of Applied Science, the semester started earlier than at the universities in Munich. So maybe you can tell us about how the pandemic worked out for you.
We started mid of March, this year, and it was all still kind of more chaotic than it was maybe 2 months later, and nobody was quite sure on if and whether we would meet again or when we would meet again. And then we stumbled into every step along the way. So it was, we just had to react what was happening in the ways of how we can communicate. And so luckily we were given like the tools we could use. So there was an instant, the university was quick, and then we just had to kind of incorporate this into the way we would work together. And also, you know, when we first started on this, it was a bit earlier. We talked about it already last semester on what we would do. And then you would have different ideas on how you could work on things. And we kind of decided on what we were going to do based on what tools we were going to be able to use. So we had to figure out how to hold team meetings without interacting in the digital realm more than in the real realm, and exchanging ideas quickly and talking about them and going back and forth. It was an interesting progress.
So the outcome would probably have looked differently if it were not for the pandemic, right? Because you were just saying, okay, we can do this with the tools we have right now.
Yeah, definitely. And also, we did talk about how would we incorporate the whole situation into what would come out of this. And then we were just totally unsure of what was happening, because it was so early on that we started already with like conceptualizing and already had like the pressure of finalizing in a way, or getting started. And then we thought about it in a way that it would be as universal as we could think of, and then still be relevant to the situation in a way.
Cynthia and Lucas, how was COVID affecting your work? What you did about the pandemic, we'll talk about in a minute, but maybe you explaining how it affected your collaboration.
Yeah, so working together in this pandemic was definitely a challenge, especially communication aspect was, yeah, very hard to keep like constant and like communicate the things that you really want to communicate through a display that you're always sitting in front of. So we also, just like Adrian said, had Zoom meetings every week, and then also separated self-organized Zoom meetings with our group. But yeah, definitely like the social aspect of being in a room with your team, I was definitely missing it for sure, because you're already isolated in your room, and all the other modules where oftentimes you only work by yourself are already just virtual and digital. So yeah, also with like the development phase, at parts, definitely you benefit from other people joining in and showing you stuff or helping you figure out this problem. And that would have definitely been easier in person and rather than on a digital platform.
Yeah, and very similar as what Lucas just said. I think the Zoom part is that is what works for us. So we set up our own routine. We meet in a very disciplined way. We meet weekly, and this is part of our routine. And I think this is something that works for our project. But something is missing is totally the social part. Yeah, and especially when probably there are some moments we want to share our impromptu ideas. Yeah, or maybe some moments we have a question in mind and maybe we want to get it solved very quickly. So yeah, this kind of social aspect is missing, and we have to rely on technology to overcome it. But I think we are still very looking forward when this pandemic is over, we can meet again together. Yeah, probably to have a post-celebration after the exhibition.
Great. Yeah, I think when all this is over, it's kind of an extended reality as well, because now it's kind of an isolated reality. And nevertheless, you were working on a project on extended realities while locked in your rooms, communicating over the Zoom like we are doing it now. Lucas and Cynthia, your project is called Stories of an Instant, and it has directly to do with the pandemic. Maybe some people will hear this conversation before they see your artwork, or they'll never see it. So maybe you give a description of what people experience with Stories of an Instant.
So yeah, Stories of an Instant is a virtual reality experience which exemplifies the different perspectives that are created by the societal circumstances of COVID-19. So we collected 27 interviews from people all around the world, from countries like Germany, Austria, England, Hong Kong, USA, Russia, Denmark, Spain, and Mexico, and asked them about like what changed in their life, how are they feeling about it. And we kind of tried to then categorize and organize these audios that we collected. And we wanted to present them in a virtual environment in a very simplistic, minimalistic way, so you can focus on the voices and the content, or like the topics of what they're talking about.
So I hear people telling me about their experiences, their life during the pandemic. And what do I see in this virtual world?
So you're walking through this very surreal environment, like a glass room, basically, or glass hallway that is basically covered in fog. So many times you don't even see a lot of things, and you're always kind of moving through a surrounding of uncertainty. We dedicated an object to each of these categorized areas that we've created. So we have basically five different areas, the one of media, healthcare, education, job, and mental health. And for each and every one of these areas, we created a 3D model basically that is kind of picturing the overall area without saying anything. So just like visual communication through a simple object.
Cynthia, you did some of the interviews, I guess, with the people that we can hear during the VR experience. Can you give us some examples? What are people telling you about their life during the pandemic? And maybe there are some examples that kind of impressed you the most?
Yeah, sure. Our group did some interviews. We did interviews with people from different parts of the world, and some of the experiences are very different, but actually there are still some very similar aspects. Yeah, for me, yeah, what I think is remarkable, I heard from some people talking about, they think that guideline is unclear, and then they feel uncertain of what is going to happen and what should they do on their world. Not only talking about people or staff from the hospital, but there are people, for example, teachers, they are also experiencing this kind of uncertainty. So it is, we can always hear something different from different perspectives and from different roles. And there are still something that everyone in this society is experiencing together.
So the uncertainty, the feeling of uncertainty is kind of a global feeling right now. I know that art doesn't have to have a goal or something, but you can tell us what you're hoping for, that people who go through your experience will maybe think, feel, or how it might affect them. Do you have any hopes for that? Or do you just leave it completely open to each individual visitor?
What we were thinking about was, for one, that people empathize with these stories that we display in the project, but also, just as Cynthia mentioned before, acknowledge and realize how intertwined these stories actually are, because we are dividing them and categorizing them. But when you go through them, you really realize that a lot of these people, even if they come from different backgrounds, are actually experiencing a lot of similar things. And also we were asking ourselves, are we able to capture a moment in time? And yeah, we also had to ask ourselves, on the other side, do we have to accept our lack of knowledge when it comes to grasping what a time really has been like? So these kinds of challenges we gave ourselves, and we also want the viewer to be confronted with these questions and really think about them.
And talking about the moment in time, yeah, we also question ourselves about that. But we think when we look back, actually these moments are gone, and this is important for us to be at this moment, and we document it, and we have an idea of, yeah, because when we look back, all these feelings will be gone. And yeah, it is important for us to remember what we are experiencing, what we are struggling, what went well and what didn't go well. And this is the first part of our moments in time. And the second thing is we also acknowledge that it is really difficult to capture or everything of it. We have to acknowledge that these are just pieces of voices that we are able to reach to. Of course, there are still a lot of voices out there in the world and which is not captured by our project. Yeah, but I think this is actually an experience for our audiences to practice what means empathy and what means care. And for this project, we are capturing 27 interviews, 27 perspectives, and in this experience, our audiences, they have to be immersed in our virtual reality environment, and they will be attracted to the forces that they are interested to. Yeah, so they will have to choose what they want to listen. And of course, I think this is a practice for everyone to acknowledge that there are many different perspectives out there, how we can be confronted with our own standpoints, and then we have a feeling of empathy because we want to know more about the reality, so we are willing to listen to perspectives from other people. So reflection among ourselves, our project creators, and we also want our audiences to reflect during their journey in our VR experience.
One of the stories from your project is that although there are many people with different perspectives and different experiences, there are some kind of shared feelings around the globe. So it's kind of a story about the whole world being one. Adrian, your project is, you know, when I read the description, which highlights how different every place on Earth is. And it's called, it's a complicated name in English because it has so many numbers. Well, it's not so complicated, but it's called Track 48N10E. Adrian, what does this mean? And maybe you can describe what people can see, hear, feel during this experience.
Well, Track 8410E is a location-based real-time application that you can, where we map your surroundings to a virtual synthesizer. So the name originates from where you are at. So it also, it adapts to where you are at. So this is coordinates. And what this does is that wherever you go, wherever you have access to GPS data, you can walk around and put on headphones and experience your outside in a different way. So we take data off the map and just put it in a format where you can decide on how it affects you in the moment. It's up to you on how you interact with this in a way. So it encourages you to decide on the level of interaction you want to experience with this as well. So each experience is highly individual. So is every reality in a way. So this is kind of about, it's about questioning your surroundings and maybe experiencing them in a new way, which kind of came from, you know, sitting at home and you were always in the same room. And what would it be like to go out again? And what is there in the nearest to me that I did not experience yet? You know your city pretty well usually, or you think you know your city pretty well, but what if there is a different way of experiencing that? Would you be encouraged to walk different directions than you usually do? Something like that.
So it's an audio experience?
It's an audio experience.
And with a smartphone app or a web-based application?
It's a web-based application, so all the audio is created in real time in a browser, actually. A big part of the project was trying to making this as universally accessible as possible. So we decided on using a web-based application. So it's pretty much usable in everything that has a browser on it.
Great. So we can give a link at the end of the podcast and in the podcast description. And of course, the link to your project, Cynthia and Lucas, too, because you can also download and view it with VR glasses or just in your regular web browser. But maybe you can give us some more detail. You say that taking data from maps or something, what kind of data do you use to make sounds for every place on Earth?
the base of data that we use now is map data, which came from finding a source of data that is consistent and usable everywhere around the world. And we tried of thinking about getting different sets of data, and this turned out to be the most reliable data that we can get, and also the most consistent all over the world. What we did is creating a few mechanics that would allow us to read this data in a way that we could map it to the synthesizer that we created. So we have this kind of weird structure of different synthesizers that we coded, and we thought of ways of how we could play these in a way with the data that is around us. For example, we have some kind of wavy thing that's like a sonar that we use to, if the wave touches, let's say, a point of interest, you would hear a sound. So it's just like this trigger thing. And then we also created different mechanics that would allow us to kind of read, because we can look at a map and see, oh, this is a rural area, oh, this is a city area, and the computer cannot. So we had to figure out a way of how to do this. So we created those mechanics that would kind of tell us, okay, now this should be a city, like comparing the land use we have here and comparing the buildings we have here, this should be a city. And then from those mechanics, we kind of derived the mappings to our synthesizer.
I start the app right here at my desk. Yeah. Will it always sound the same, the exact spot?
The overall composition will sound the same, but it never repeats completely. So we did implement ways to keep it moving all along, but always in a similar way. So you would know you're at home, but it would never be the same.
Okay, and every street sounds differently. And when I walk past, I don't know, a monument or a famous building, famous place, then I will hear it, that there must be something around here?
Ideally, yes.
So great.
The thing is, it's really up, like, we don't really show how it works and when you use the app. So it's really about how deeply you decide on how much you want to know about how this works. In the audio, we kind of leaned into the ambient area, and in ambient music, there's Brian Eno, this guy who's pretty big in ambient music. He once said ambient music must be as interesting as boring in a way. So, you know, whether you decide if you just want to stroll with this and just kind of have it in the background when you're distracted by your surroundings, or if you're like, okay, I really want to know how this works, like, why does it sound like this now? This is the level of interaction that you can get out of this. So it's really up to the listener to be like, oh, this is what I want to do with this. So,
okay. If I use it very often and listen to it closely, I might recognize patterns.
Yeah, you definitely will.
Is there a message that you want to send out with this?
Well, the message is definitely to encourage you to decide on your own in a way. Like, where am I at now and how do I want to interact with where I am at now?
Great. Based on the idea of research creation, maybe you can tell us what research creation means and what kind of research came out of your project. Cynthia, maybe you start with your project.
Yeah, so for research creation, like implied by its name, so it is a collaboration between our research and creation. And of course, there is more, because through this collaboration, we are researching and creating at the same time. We're doing these all together. And also inspired by research creation, we are actually reaching a wider audience from the public through us creation. And also we are contributing to the creation deliverable using some research lenses so that we can look at things deeper, and then we can present these things, the things that we saw from our lenses, to our audiences. And also, it is one of the essence of research creation, where we are given this opportunity to reach wider a population of audiences, and we are engaging them to join us in the journey of reflection. So this is what our project is trying to achieve. And it is also our collaboration, how we are looking into things, documenting them in our VR experiences, and also letting our audiences to to kind of get their own reflections out of the experience. So this is kind of how we hope to engage our audiences and let them to be part of our research creation.
What was the main, I don't know if lesson is the right word, or experience, or the most fun part of working on this project for you personally? What did you learn? What did you like? Maybe just one short example from each of you, you know, so that everyone else thinks, okay, I want to do this kind of research creation project myself.
There was a lot of unexpected things happening, dealing with a lot of different inputs and adapting quickly to new things happening, and being able to do that and reflecting on that, I think, was a big part of this project. And also a big extension to personal reality in a way.
Okay. Cynthia, you had more time to think. Adrian had to go first. What was your personal learning lesson fun on this project?
The fun part is definitely the collaboration with our students from the art field. It is really great working with these very talented artists in the project. And especially I'm speaking from a social science student's perspective. Usually we do research and then we write paper. Yeah, and then our writing is usually only being read by our teachers or maybe people from the academia, but this time we are collaborating with the art students. They inspired me a lot as well. And we are co-creating a project and then presenting it in a very artistic way, using the artistic expression so that we can reach a wider population of audience. So I think this is a really fun part, speaking from a social science perspective.
Lucas, you have the last word.
For me personally, I learned a lot on the technical level for sure. I never worked with virtual reality and virtual environments before. So that was a really interesting thing to look at. But also, yeah, the collaboration as well. And it was so much fun, especially the one meeting where we all saw each other, also with the students of Augsburg. It felt so refreshing to see so many new faces during these times where you just are glued to your desk all the time and see the same faces through Zoom. So yeah, that was definitely a really fun and refreshing part. But also, yeah, I mean, in our project, we reached out to so many different people, and it was also like really interesting to talk to them. And also it was interesting to see how many of these people were willing to talk about very personal topics and actually wanted to share them and maybe help someone else with their perspective and what they have learned. I thought that was really, beautiful to see.
Great. And I hope that a lot of people will see your experiences that you were building. I think those are great projects. So thank you very much for taking the time talking about your projects. And good luck for Ars Electronica this weekend and in the following days, where you will present the outcomes. And I'm really excited to see what else you're doing in the next year. So thank you very much and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was episode 12 of the New Realities podcast by 1E9 and the XR Hub Bavaria. If you want to try the experiences built by Adrian, Cynthia, Lucas, and their fellow students, no problem. You'll find the links where to download them in the description of this podcast. And before we finish this episode, I have an announcement from the XR Bavaria that might be relevant for you. If you offer products or solutions based on extended reality, if you do research on XR technology, or if you want to realize your vision of an XR project idea, but you're still looking for partners or you could need some more attention, then register with the new XR Network. It offers a central platform on which you can upload your portfolio and which enables interdisciplinary networking on the topic of XR across all industries, universities, arts. And it's free of charge, free of advertising, and independent, because it is funded by the Bavarian State Ministry for Digital Affairs, just like this podcast, by the way. So sign up now on xrnetwork.de it's xrnetwork.de, and help to shape the future with XR and help to build a strong community together. Check it out. And if you want even more community, then check out 1E9 as well on 1E9.community. There you'll find articles, discussions, and a network focused on technology and its impact on our daily lives, our economy, and culture. And last but not least, thank you to Daniel Jocher, our great sound engineer. Next time, we'll talk in German again about VR, XR, and journalism. Don't miss the next episode. It will be in German, but we will have more English episodes too. So if you're not German speaking, check out the podcast from time to time and see if we have a new English episode. Thank you.